welcome to the 300th episode of Ron's Amazing Stories. When I first started podcasting in 2011, I had no idea of what to expect. I wasn't even sure anyone would listen to me or my crazy antics. I knew one thing for sure, and that is that I was going to give my very best effort and see what happens next. Well, 7 years later, I average close to 1,000 downloads per day, and I'm on the radio in 12 cities. How about that? Including, most recently, Jacksonville, Florida, FM 90.3. Welcome, guys. Now, I love podcasting, but more important, I love hearing from you guys. You tell me your stories, share your ideas, and sometimes you tell me I missed the mark. Whatever the reason, I do this show for you guys, and having you say that you appreciate it, well, that means the world to me. So here we are, episode 300 and many more to follow. Now, I get asked all the time what my plans are for the show and for me. I've learned that I'm not half bad at this stuff and would love to make a career doing it. That's tough in this world of amazing podcast growth. Did you know that there are over 67 million people in this country that listen to a podcast at least monthly? iTunes tells us that there are approximately 250,000 podcasts available on their service alone. That's a huge number, and one that's difficult to break into. All I can say is that with your help, my plan is to do just that. So here is to 7 more years, and I want to thank you for listening. We do have a treat today, and it all starts right now with a telegram that I sent Jim Harold of the Paranormal Podcast and Jim Harold's Campfire. Here's how that all unfolded. I hope you enjoy it. It was a dark and rainy night. Even the moonlight had given up any chance of breaking through the foul weather below. A lone man on a mission walks the lonely streets of this Ohio town. He approaches the home of the famous podcaster, Jim Harold. He does so with trepidation, not because of fear, but with the odd, inspired feelings of meeting the man who coined the phrase, "Stay spooky." He knocks on the door. No simple words can describe the scene that evening as he hands the telegram to the heralded podcaster. He then turns and walks away. Jim takes hold of the paper and speaks these now famous words.
"I've gotten this telegram here. I wonder what could be at stake. What does this mean?"
He reads the telegram and learns that it is from his friend Ron of Ron's Amazing Stories. He begins to read it aloud, and strangely enough, his voice changes to that of his counterpart, Ron. "Jim, stop. I've come upon a strange occurrence at the house on Lost Man's Bluff. Stop. Come now and meet me on the Horror Express, Depot 667A. Stop. Come at once. Stop. Ron. Stop." The master podcaster grabs his raincoat, umbrella, and his trusty deerstalker cap and heads out the door. Of course, he realizes his mistake, returns inside, and asks Mrs. Harold if he can go. With permission obtained, he speeds off into the night. Mere minutes later, he boards the infamous Horror Express. Having been aboard this train before and knowing the pitfalls, He avoids most of the creatures, including the conductor himself, and makes his way to car 13, where he finds Ron sitting alone with a few ghosts to keep him company.
Good God, man! What is Lost Man's Bluff? What does this all mean?
Well, Jim, it's like this. I also received a telegram telling me to come to Lost Man's Bluff. I was told to bring you along and make sure that I was in good voice. I immediately had my throat lacquered, scraped, and then boarded this train. As I entered, I was given this photograph record and was told not to play it until you arrive. So, my friend, shall we play it?
Well, I suppose so. Let's see what this is all about.
Jim and Ron, your mission, should you decide to accept it, is to go to Lost Man's Bluff. A guide will meet you at the train stop and take you the final distance. One thing of note, your guide will be of the undead. Please take appropriate countermeasures to protect yourself. Now, what you are about to hear is from the golden age of radio and comes from the classic horror show, The Hermit's Cave. You'll hear, for yourself, the story of the house on Lost Man's Bluff. This episode easily stands among the best and most disturbing haunted house stories from the golden age of radio. It first aired on the Mutual Broadcasting Network in June of 1940. Please place your pacemakers in safe mode. Here we go.
Hermit, you're next.
Ghost stories, weird stories, and murders too. The hermit knows of them all. Turn out your lights. Turn them out. Have you heard the story, The House on Lost Man's Bluff, eh? Then listen while the hermit tells you the story.
For heaven's sake.
What is it, Denton?
Our gas?
Couldn't be, Charles. Denton filled up at the last stop. What is it, Denton?
For heaven's sake, Nan, how do I know? Well, that's that.
Ooh, I hope we don't get stranded in this forsaken territory.
Well, that'd be something, wouldn't it? We haven't passed a house in the last 3 hours.
Well, I might as well get out and see what I can do.
You want me to take a look at it, Denton?
No. I'll tinker with it a while. You and Nan sit down on the side of the road.
I might be able to find the trouble for you, Dad.
Charles was only trying to help, Denton.
Never mind, I say. I'll have the thing going in a moment. Do as I say. Sit along the road. I'm going to work.
Come on, Charles. Let's do as he says.
Just as you say, Denton.
Here's a nice place to sit, Charles. We can look right down into a valley from here.
Why, it is nice, isn't it?
See? You can look all over the valley.
Wonder what they call this place.
I wouldn't know. Oh, look. We're not so far from civilization as I thought.
A town at the lower end of the valley.
Yes.
Now, that's still a long way away. You see? The road takes a roundabout way along the rim of the valley.
Uh-huh.
Say, I bet that's where I'm going to work.
Do you think so?
I'll just bet you that's where the job is that Denton got for me.
Way out? Away from everything?
Oh, I don't know. Looks like a nice little town. I'll make out all right.
I hate to have you leaving us, Charles. I'll be terribly lonesome.
Oh, I'll get back to the city occasionally.
You must be sure to do that.
Sure I will. Man... Denton can't hear us talking from here, can he?
No.
I have a feeling that he managed this job for me way out here. because he didn't want me living with you two anymore.
Oh, no, Charles. Why should he object to my own brother living with us?
You've got me there. I can't figure it out. When I first came to stay with you, Denton talked of getting me work close by.
I know he did.
Man, there's something strange about it.
I don't know exactly what you mean, Charles.
Yes, you do. Ever since Denton came back from that road trip, he's acted strange.
Now that you mention it, I think I have noticed something different about Denton.
He was jolly and friendly enough to me when I first arrived. And now, all of a sudden, he's changed.
Maybe we're imagining it all.
Doesn't seem that he'd be jealous of his wife's own brother, does it?
No. Denton's not like that.
But he has been for the last 10 days. Morose, sullen, sitting most of the time staring at me.
Maybe he feels I've been paying more attention to you than to him.
Maybe that's it.
It's only natural that I'd be solicitous of my own brother, whom I haven't seen for so many years.
We won't talk about it anymore. All I hope is that he isn't ill, that you aren't going to have trouble with me so far away.
You said we mustn't worry about it. We won't.
No.
I do wish he'd get the car started.
He wouldn't let me help him. Fairly pushed me away.
Denton's frightfully independent. But I wish he'd hurry.
Nervous?
I think we're going to have a storm. We should be getting out of these hills and down into town quickly.
Say, the sky is getting black and gloomy.
Look over to the west. The clouds are piling up fast.
Something of a wind coming up, too.
Denton just stands there looking at the car as if he didn't know what he was doing.
Maybe he doesn't. Well, let's go back over. Maybe you'll let me help him now.
All right.
Watch your step. There are jagged pieces of rock here.
That wind's getting stronger every minute.
It sure is. Looks like we might be getting a tornado. How are you making out, Denton?
What?
Located the trouble?
We should hurry, Denton. There's a terrific storm coming up fast.
Can't make the car go if it doesn't want to.
Look at the sky, Denton. We're in for a real storm.
Wow. There goes my hat. No use chasing it now.
Please, hurry. Get the car started.
All right. All right, get inside. Maybe it'll go now.
Let's hurry.
Drive like mad to get out of these hills and into the village before the storm breaks.
I know these roads. I'll get you out all right.
Denton, don't be so cross. Jump on every word Charles says.
Then don't give me orders.
Easy. You'll never be able to keep the car on the road with a wind like this.
What are we going to do, Denton? It'll blow the car off the road and hurl us down the hill.
Wow. That was a peal of thunder.
Denton. Denton, we can't drive on in this.
No. I know we can't.
What are we going to do, Dan? Can we sit in the car and be safe?
We aren't going to sit here. We're going to make for shelter.
But where?
There's a house sitting up there on the rock.
It's so dark, I can't see it.
There's a house up there. I got caught in a storm the last time I was through here. Climbed up to that house and stayed until it blew over.
Well, can we get up there all right?
We can make it. We'll have to. Get out of the car. We've got to start right away. Hurry, climb out. Give me your hand, Dan.
In the middle of the afternoon and black as night.
Oh, we've got to climb fast. And I'll take hold of hands and start up the rock. We've got to get to that house. We've got to get there. Give me a hand, man.
Let's go.
Hurry. Come on.
On the door, Denton.
We don't have to knock. We walk right in.
What?
Hurry. Get inside.
Whew.
Boy.
What a relief. I thought for a few minutes we might not make it.
I'll bolt this door so the wind won't rip it open.
Who owns this place? Doesn't anyone live here?
There was no one living in it when I stopped on my way through here last time.
But it must belong to someone. It's completely furnished.
Whoever owns it hasn't been here for a long time, then. Everything's covered with dust and cobwebs. I can see them even in this pale light.
It's so dark in here. Can't you find a lamp or something, Denton?
I'll get a light. There's one in this room off the hall.
Come on, Charles, let's follow him. I don't like standing in this dark hall.
I found a lamp. I'll have it lighted in a moment.
Oh, it's so damp and cold in here. Ooh.
There. Huh. Light makes it better, doesn't it?
Some.
Maybe. I don't like the looks of this place.
At least we're out of the storm, Nan.
You stopped here on your last trip through, Denton, and there was no one living here then?
That's what I said, wasn't it?
But it's completely furnished. Surely someone lives here now.
Maybe they do. They aren't here now.
Almost like a dungeon in the room. Windows are built so high.
Something like a fort. But it's grand Denton knew of this place. Its shells were out of the storm. A wind couldn't blow this building over.
Denton?
What?
What are you staring at?
What?
You heard what I said. What are you staring out into the hall for?
Say, Dan, are you all right?
Don't clench your hands that way. What do you see?
Did I say I saw anything?
What's the matter with you?
Don't keep asking me questions. I've got you out of the storm. Isn't that enough? Now leave me alone.
Where are you going? Where are you going, Denton? Stop him, Charles.
Don't you think we all of us sit in here? When the storm blows over, we can drive on.
What's wrong with him? He's moving like a person in a trance. Get him to come back in this room.
Are you ill, Denton? Is there something we can do?
Stay right where you are. Both of you.
What is it?
I'm going into that room across the hall.
But why? Why don't we all stay together? It's dark in here. I don't like it. I want you to stay near me.
I said I'm going into that room across the hall. And I'm going alone. Your brother Charles will take care of you. You prefer his company, don't you?
Is that what's wrong with you? Why do you act this way toward my brother?
You might as well make up your minds, both of you, that we'll stay in this house until morning. I'm going into this room to sleep.
Denton!
It's no use.
He is ill.
He's got it in for me. Come on. Let's go back where the lamp is.
Listen. You hear what he's doing?
Barricading the door.
What does all this mean? Oh, Charles.
Let's get back to where the lamp is.
It's as if he's lost his mind.
Sit down. It's been coming on him for some time. Ever since he made that last trip through here. We know that.
What shall we do? Why did he go into that room and leave us?
As soon as we get into town, we'll persuade him to see a doctor. Let's make the best of it now. If he wants to leave us and sleep, let him.
Oh.
It's tough on you, Nan. I'm sorry I brought you all this trouble.
Denton's never been this way before. There's something dreadfully wrong. What was that?
Oh, is that Denton laughing?
No, it can't be. He's never laughed like that in his life.
Oh, it's coming from the room Denton went into. That's for sure.
He's going mad. Oh, Charles.
Come on. You'll have to let us in.
Denton? Denton, what is it?
Let us in. Dan, let us in.
Locked?
Bolted and barricaded.
Denton, please let us in. It is coming from in there. But it's not Denton. It can't be. Oh, what are we going to do? What shall we do?
Everything's all right now, Nan. He's quieted down.
He answered you the last time you went over to the room?
Yes. He said, I'm all right. Go away.
Oh.
I think he's going to sleep now. We might as well do the same.
I can't sleep in this horrible house.
Yes, you can. It'll only be a few hours before morning.
But what if Denton refuses to come out of that room in the morning?
He'll be better in the morning. Storm's passed over, too. Everything will seem different in the morning.
Leave the lamp burning. I'm scared.
Sure. I'll set it on the mantel. It won't bother our eyes, but it will shed some light.
Yes, that will be all right. You think Denton will sleep?
I think he's asleep now. I'd break the door down, Nan, if I thought it would do any good. But I think it's best to let him get over this spell by himself.
I'll never believe it was he laughing.
Who could it have been but Denton? Oh, now, don't worry anymore. Try to get some sleep. If he calls out, I'll wake you up.
It seems like a nightmare, doesn't it?
It will in the morning. Everything will be different then. Go to sleep now. You need the rest.
Charles, ready to kill him, eh? The hermit will tell you before the night is done.
Now, back to the hermit.
Terror-stricken, Charles and Nan stand in the middle of the room in this strange house on Lost Man's Bluff, wondering who tried to kill Charles. Listen.
You mean you think it was...
I know it was Denton.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Denton trying to kill me.
I know it was he. With his hands reaching out for your throat.
Oh, no.
And when I screamed, he ran back into that room and closed the door. Charles, where are you going?
I'm going to get him out of that room before something really happens.
You mustn't go near him.
I've got to.
No, you stay here.
Never. I'm going with you.
I'm going to make him let me in there.
He may try to kill you again.
I don't think he will. You stay behind me. Denton? Denton!
Denton!
The door's unlocked. Denton? Stay back, man. I'm going to light a match. Great heaven. Denton.
What is it?
Get back. Don't look.
Why are you closing the door? What is it, Charles? What did you see?
No. Denton's...
Something's happened to him. Something's happened to Denton. What is it, Charles? Tell me quick. What is it?
Denton's... hanged himself. Keep hold of yourself, Nan. We've got to get out of here. Down into town and get the authorities here.
Denton. Oh, Denton, save yourself.
Let's hope the car runs. We've got to get into town. The laughter again.
Look. Look. Up at the top of the stairs.
What is it?
In this faint light, it looks like the figure of a man.
Yes, but you can see right through him. He's disappeared.
Standing there at the head of the stairs, pointing at us, then vanished.
That same laughter.
Charles, you're not going up there. We're going to get out of this place right away and get help. Quick, hurry, we must get help.
But I tell you, it's urgent. You've got to go up there right now.
Go up to that house on Lost Man's Bluff before daybreak?
Right now.
Oh, no, not me.
But my husband is dead in that house.
Would never enter the door of that house at night. No, sir. Neither would anyone else in this town.
Denton is dead.
He ain't the first one to die up there.
What do you mean?
Ain't never heard of the house on Lost Man's Bluff?
No. We don't live around here.
Oh, well, that explains that.
What did you mean when you said that Denton was not the first man to die there?
5 years ago, a fella that owned that house killed his brother, then hanged himself.
What?
That's right. But hanging didn't seem to take him out of this world. Now, I ain't the only one that's been there, passed there at night and heard his wild laughter. It's fit to make the hair stand right up on a man's spine. Other folks tried to live in that house. But you know what happens to them when they go in a certain room in that house?
The room Denton tried to sleep in?
The desire to kill enters in them. And the laughter of him that belongs to the other world drives them mad. They can't get away from it. They return to the place.
Charles. That's what happened to Denton. He said he'd been in that house before.
They try to kill if there's anyone near to kill, and then they take their own lives. It's happened to 3 other people. One man got back to town and told his experience, but he went back up there a few weeks later and took his life, hanged himself. Oh, no, sir. You'll have to wait till morning. Won't get nobody to go up there in the night. To that house on Lost Man's Bluff.
From the house on Lost Man's Bluff continues to pierce the night. Don't ever go near it after sundown. No. Turn on your lights. Turn them on. I'll be back. Pleasant dreams.
All characters, places, and occurrences mentioned in The Hermit's Cave are fictitious, and similarity to persons, places, or occurrences is purely accidental.
There you have it. Jim and Ron, you must enter that house. Find out if there is funny business going on and then make haste out of there, lest you become a permanent member of the House of Lost Man's Bluff. One more thing, I highly recommend you stay out of the East Room. This recording is quite valuable and will not self-destruct in 15 seconds.
The rest of the train ride is done in silence as the two heroic podcasters make peace with their dinner choices. Soon, the train comes to a stop, and the conductor's voice comes over the intercom.
Now, at platform 663, passengers for Harmony Point, Dixon's Death Cave, and Lost Man's Bluff, disembark the train at your own risk. It has been our pleasure to serve you.
Fearing the worst and hoping the worst is not the best, or something like that, Jim and Ron get off the train. To call it a depot is a bit of a stretch. Even the platform itself has seen better days. The woods lie to the east, and literally nothing is to the north, south, or west. It appears that they've been dropped off nowhere.
Ron, this is most bewildering. This train has dropped us off in the middle of nowhere.
Well, Jim, they said there would be a guide. You know, while we're waiting, what did you think about the story?
Well, I thought it was most distressing. I thought I'd have to go get myself a headache powder of some type to deal with it.
Yes, quite. It was one of the 30 most scary radio programs of old-time radio. It ranked number 27.
I believe that the maniacal laugh had me at wit's end.
It did. I believe our guide is here. And Jim, I don't think you're gonna like it.
Oh no, what is this?
I believe they call that a skeleton.
Oh, old sawbones. My goodness. What a predicament you've got me into this time, Ron.
Well, are we going to follow him, Jim?
I suppose so.
The two intrepid podcasters follow the would-be lifelike being who happens to be dead, horrific-looking, and smells quite bad. The monstrosity from another plane leads them to the cliff face. The skeleton then points out into the expanse and disappears. Both men look around at their surroundings, and it is Jim who speaks first.
Now, as I see it, man, we have to ease our way down the cliff. We can't jump. That's ridiculous. So we
Jim?
Have to gently ease ourselves down the cliff. Very careful, man.
Jim,
very careful. Just, one step at
Jim,
a time.
Before you jump,
very
Jim.
Very slowly. Yes.
Jim, why don't we just go into that house that says House on Old Man's Bluff?
Well, very well, then.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, I guess better to be in the frying pan than the fire, old man. Let's do it.
You go first.
I suppose so.
With all discussion behind them and a firm, grounded, fair decision made, they walk to the house's entrance. A simple sign greets them. It reads, Jim and Ron, please enter. They enter and look around the room. Things are not as terrifying as first thought. Another skeleton awaits them with a finely polished smile on his face. That is, if he had a face.
Wow. They're all set up for a podcast interview. Jim, let's do this.
My goodness, I believe I spy a Heil PR-40 over there on the table with a Mackie console. This is fully equipped.
I believe it is. The skeleton is gesturing to us. I believe, Jim, that they just want us to do a normal podcast now.
Well, I suppose I've done many of those, so let's do it.
All right. Well, first off, Jim, let me say welcome to the 300th episode of Ron's Amazing Stories.
Well, it's so good to be here, and I'm so glad to ditch the accent, but I thought that it was appropriate seeing that old-time radio, and if you ever hear the way these people talk in these shows, they use something called the Mid-Atlantic accent that actors were actually trained in the 30s and 40s, and I just always get a laugh out of that, so I thought in honor of this special occasion, I would try to reenact that.
I thought it was great, and I'm sure that the listeners enjoyed it as well, but I gotta also say congratulations to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. What are you congratulating me for?
Well, I'm congratulating you because, Jim, you just celebrated your 500th paranormal podcast.
Yes, yes, yes. That's the first show that I started back in 2005 and just hit episode, well, actually now 501. And really excited. You know, that was a fun milestone to hit. And we've got all the other shows. I think altogether I've done about 1,400 podcasts, but really that's one that's near and dear to my heart. It was my first podcast, so really enjoyed kind of hitting that mark with our listeners who've been with us back since 2005. We weren't doing the Middle Atlantic accent back then. It's not that far back, but in podcasting years, it's pretty far back.
Well, I got a chance to sit down and listen to that show, and I thought, you know, for a 500th show, it was really well done. And I had never heard of the Mandela effect until that show. And now it's got me freaked out.
Hey, mission accomplished. Well, it is really weird. There are a lot of things that don't quite make sense. The Berenstain Bears dichotomy being the number one. And so if you're listening to this, after you're done, of course, listening to Ron's Amazing Stories, go over to jimherald.com or your favorite podcatcher, look up the Paranormal Podcast and listen to episode 500 and you'll know what we're talking about.
Well, I'm going to spoil the fun a little bit and say I was floored with the C-3PO thing.
Yeah, I never heard of that before. Yeah, the idea, folks, being that we may be going back and forth on different realities and people have memories of things being one way and then they look it up and it's like totally different. It's a very strange thing.
And your guest was spot on great to explain it all and how it all works and all the different theories. Man, there's so many theories as to why this is happening. So I encourage you guys, listen to the 500th episode of the Paranormal Podcast. You will not be disappointed. So I see, Jim, that our skeleton friend is holding up a sign. He wants us to answer a few questions, I guess.
Okay.
I believe the first question he has for both of us is favorite podcasting moment.
My favorite podcasting moment is when I went full-time in 2012.
I bet.
It was just really exciting, and thank goodness the listeners have allowed me to continue to do that. You know, it's not always easy, and sometimes you kind of look at the bank account and say, am I going to keep being able to do this? But so far, so good. So I really appreciate all the listeners, and just it's been a fun 12-year journey, but the last 5 years have been really, really great. And it's funny because sometimes you get in, it's like any other job, you get in like high points and low points, and sometimes you don't feel like going in there and doing a show. But then what I always find is I get like these, I get rejuvenated, and I get just as excited about it as I ever was. So it's really a great job, and I thank all the listeners, and that's got to be my favorite moment. How's that for a long-winded answer?
I loved your answer, and I think it was too short. No, I think it was perfect. My favorite podcasting moment came about 2 years after I started, and this is going to sound weird. I got my first hate letter, and it told me what a horrible job I was doing, what a terrible podcast I have, and that I was just making use of other people's work and not doing anything myself. That was my favorite podcasting moment.
And I bet I know why.
Please take a guess.
Because that means that somebody was paying attention and they cared. Because it's more important, you'd rather have people be hot or cold than to be apathetical. So to me, getting that hate letter was a sign you're connecting with people.
Exactly. And it was right after that I started thinking about the format of the show and what kinds of things could I do to make it more of my own. So not only did that bad report cause me joy, but it also said, hey, maybe there are some things that I could do to make the podcast better. It was interesting because at that time I was averaging, at best, somewhere between 150 to 300 downloads per week, or per episode, I'm sorry. After I started making changes, based on that, the numbers started going up. And now I'm sitting at right about 900 downloads a day.
Yeah. There you go.
And that's way different than it was back in, this would have been about 2012 or early 2013.
No, even now, you know, I get criticism. I think anybody that puts themselves out there gets that. And a lot of the times, sometimes you can say, well, this person just is a contrarian and, you know, whatever. But sometimes I read it all and I take it in. And sometimes I say, you know, they've got a point. So let me tweak a little bit this way, tweak a little bit that way. Lately, I've been really trying to, I think I've always had pretty good sound, but I'm working on different ways, equipment and different recording systems. We're using one today to try to make the sound better because I'm a big believer in continuous improvement. And as podcasters, in this day and age, we are competing against the big boys. Yes, the guys with the big money are getting in. And I don't want to take a backseat to them in any way, and I'm not going to concede an inch. So my job on my end is to make my show every bit there equal and maybe in some cases better. So I'm trying to do everything I can to up my game in content and in sound, because I think if you're not getting better, then you're going in the other direction.
Well, I think we've satisfied our skeleton friend because he's changed the card. However, okay. This one says, don't go into the east bedroom. I don't think we have to even guess what went on in that east bedroom, do you?
My goodness. They weren't hanging a picture, I guess. But that was really chilling, though. Very chilling. Yes, it was. No, I don't think I want to go into that bedroom.
I'm not interested in searching the house. I'm happy right here in this living room, and I'm quite comfortable. Thank you very much. Okay, he's turned the card again. Favorite podcaster and why? I'm going to have you go first.
That's a tough one.
It is.
Well, I think I'm going to have to go back to my roots and kind of the guy who inspired me that had nothing whatsoever to do with the paranormal or the supernatural. There's this guy, he's a tech journalist, and I really, honestly, I don't listen to his podcasts anymore. I kind of got my fill of those kind of shows, but he's kind of a guy that inspired me in many ways, and I kind of want to do with the paranormal what he did with tech, and that's a guy by the name of Leo Laporte. And good he choice. was a tech journalist, a tech broadcaster, was on traditional TV, and he started doing his own thing with podcasting. And now for the last dozen years or a little more, he's had his own company. He has his own network of shows. He has various hosts. And in my own small way, I would like to emulate what he's done on the paranormal side. May not be exactly one-to-one. I don't know if I want to pay for the overhead for a big building and 50 employees and all these things. But in my own small way, I want to kind of, not exactly replicate, but kind of do what he's done with the paranormal. And I think he'd have to be my all-time favorite podcaster, although honestly, I don't listen to his shows that much, just because I've gotten a little away from the tech obsession that I had years ago. Although I'm very still much into cool gear.
My favorite podcaster comes back from the very beginning as well. I think that you were looking for your identity, as did I. And what I came up with was, if I'm going to start a podcast, I better start listening to a few to get how they work. And you know who one of the very first podcasts I picked was?
What would that be?
Jim Harold's Paranormal Podcast. And the reason I use that as my guide is because I had never done interviews before, and your style of interviewing was what something I wanted to emulate, and that is make the guests comfortable, make the podcast interesting, and ask good questions. So, Jim, I thank you publicly for being my favorite podcaster.
Oh, that's very nice. Thank you so much. I actually was not expecting that. That's very nice, Ron. Thank you.
Well, it's true. I mean, it's absolutely true. I modeled a lot of my interviewing style after you. You were my mentor, even if you didn't know it.
You know, that's an interesting thing, though, and thank you again for that. But a lot of times, people you never meet are your best mentors. I mean, I am a big talk radio fan and have been since I was a little kid. And I was a little kid in the 70s. I had one of those little transistor radios with the little cream-colored earpiece that would go in at night. So there'll be a few people out there know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But I would listen to people growing up like Larry King before CNN, when he just had a radio talk show. And people like that, a lot of local people as well. And it's so funny because I'll be doing an interview and I'm like, well, so-and-so would have asked something like that. And it comes through. And it's weird, I think, all these years listening to talk radio, before podcasting was even around, I was training myself and didn't even realize. And of course, you have people like Art Bell and George Norrie and people like that. But it is true that people can be your teachers and your mentors, and you never speak with them in your life.
Well, I'm just happy that I found you, and I'm happy that I've been told I do a fairly decent job of interviewing, and I'll have you to thank for a lot of that.
Well, you're to be congratulated on your success as well, and thank you.
All right. Well, we must have made the grade because there's a new question up there. I'm going to have you read this one.
Okay, Ron, what is your favorite piece of podcasting equipment?
This is going to be a shocker. Even though people aren't going to understand the why, my favorite piece of podcasting equipment is my microphone. And why is that? Because we have spent so much time talking to each other, it feels like my best friend. And if people want to know what it is the Yeti. That's what I use.
Well, actually, very similarly, and I think a lot of podcasters would say this, my favorite piece of podcasting equipment is my Heil PR40, which is my mic. And the thing of it is that, yes, I have done hundreds and hundreds of hours of podcasting through this, and I love it because, you know, you might get a new mixer, you might get a new computer or those kind of things. But the thing that I love about microphones is if you get a good mic, you can keep it for years. And it's like an old friend. Mm-hmm. And it's just something that's there. There are not a lot of moving parts. It's not something, if you treat it halfway well, it's going to last. And this could be something that I could be ostensibly using 10, 15, 20 years down the road for the long haul. So it is like a friend. And it's just something that's always there and always steady, old, reliable.
I couldn't agree more. It is the best piece of equipment I have. Now, I have money invested in more parts. I've spent more on other parts of my podcasting equipment. But this here mic is the one that just keeps on going and keeps me happy.
I can relate.
All right. He's got a new card up. And this one is favorite. Put your subject here. I'll go first on this one. My favorite subject? Old-time radio. And if it shocks you people, you haven't been listening. I don't even know if I need to explain it better than that. I love old-time radio. I love everything about it. I love doing the research. I love looking at what was going on in the world at the time that that was made that may have driven the creation of the show. I love listening to them act. They could act better than anyone. And moreover, I love the content. You can find anything that's available today back in the 40s, and it surprises the heck out of me every time. I go, well, surely they didn't have Bigfoot back then, and I can find an old-time radio broadcast about Bigfoot. It's crazy.
Well, the weird thing that's really kind of synchronistic about this is I was really into old-time radio before I was into podcasting. I have collected a lot of old-time radio over the years and enjoyed it very much. Probably in the late 90s, early 2000s, I just went crazy for old-time radio because that's when the MP3 was relatively new, and it's like, oh my gosh, you can listen to all these great old shows. And I have an old soul anyway. Mm-hmm. So to me, I just love old-time radio. And the weird thing was is then I get contacted by this guy who has this old-time radio show, and I'm like, whoa, that's kind of wild that I have such a passion for it. And and then Ron Hood contacts me about his show and so forth. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Well, and, you know, that was 7 years ago, Jim.
Yeah, time flies.
This is our seventh month of spooky together, if you can believe it.
Yeah, that time absolutely flies when you're having fun. So I'm glad we got to connect.
What's your favorite subject? And I bet this is going to be harder for you than it is me.
No, it's actually pretty easy. In terms of my podcast is the afterlife. Because so many things surround that, ghosts and so forth. And the other thing is what I often say on the shows is this. We're not all going to see a UFO. We're not all going to see a ghost. We're not all going to see Bigfoot. But we are, unfortunately, we're all going to pass and shuffle off this mortal coil. Mm-hmm. So to me, my favorite subject is specifically in the paranormal studies is learning more about the afterlife and what lies beyond. And incidentally, that's what's at the crux of many of these spooky old time radio shows.
They are. I would have to agree with you. I mean, that is one thing that we're all going to share. There's no doubt about that. And why not study it? Why not take a look at it and see? Why not wish for it in a good way, knowing, hey, I'm going to go somewhere better, or where am I going to go?
Yeah, I'm not exactly wishing for it. I won't go that far.
Yeah, but I didn't come out quite right.
Yes, I'm not going to wish for it. I'm very anxious to see what's on the side. Well, let's see. What about another 60 years? Let's say that. That's.
Well, I was going to go 70, but that's all right. Anyway, I am very, very much in agreement with you on that. It is something that makes me keep coming back to the paranormal and listening to these stories and trying to understand, you know, what is out there. And what I keep coming up with is, I really don't know yet.
That is the answer, because I don't think anybody knows.
Well, our skeleton friend has a big grin on his face, like he knows. I guess he does. And he's flipped the sign. And this one is going to be an interesting question. Why did you become a podcaster, Jim?
Oh, that's easy. I've been a frustrated broadcaster. Actually, I'd gone to school to do this professionally. And I ended up working on the business side of media and had done so for about a dozen years. And fast forward to 2005. And I looked up and I'm like, I've got a wife, two kids, and a mortgage. And I am never going to get in front of the mic because I can't afford to quit my job in advertising. Mm-hmm. And go work for nothing, because that's what you do in broadcasting when you're first starting out. Plus, I was in my mid-30s, so it wasn't like not a good time to say, let me chuck this all and go in another direction. So I thought, well, that dream has sailed. And lo and behold, I found out about this thing called podcasting and heard about, well, really the first person I heard of was Leo Laporte, as I said. And then secondly, the next thing that I did was I heard of a guy named Adam Curry. And I'm like, well, I can't do what these guys do. And then I was like, hey, wait a minute here. There are people doing this at home, out of their dens, out of their basements. I listened to some of those shows. I'm like, I can do that. And I thought, well, this will just be a nice hobby. At least I'll have an outlet for my broadcasting passion and so forth. Because I've always been, it goes back to that fascination with talk radio and old time radio. I've been a broadcasting kind of nut since I can remember as a little kid. I probably had like 15 radios laying around the house. Anyway, and then I said, well, what am I going to podcast on? And I said, well, I'm not going to do politics. I'm not going to do music. I want to do something I'm really interested in. And I remembered every time I go into a bookstore, or when they had bookstores, or a library, I would go to the paranormal section. And I was always interested in it, going back to, I'll mention it again, In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy.
Love the show. And grew up on the show.
A little elementary school kid watching that. So anyway, I said, well, I'll just do this. I'll do a podcast on the paranormal. What can I call it? Podcast on the paranormal. I'll call it the Paranormal Podcast. Of course, somebody already has to have that name. And lucky for me, Ron, they didn't, because I believe that's one of the biggest strokes of luck that I have. My friends, Google Paranormal Podcast. See what comes up. It helps. It helps a lot.
Yes,
anyway,
it does.
The point is that that's the story of how I became a podcaster and why I became a podcaster. And the thing of it is I will even find myself delving into paranormal podcasts when I'm not doing a podcast, or into the paranormal when I'm not doing a podcast, looking things up. And that tells me I'm in the right subject, because I'm utterly fascinated. And even though it's my job, I'll watch paranormal shows on Gaia or different things like that for fun, which is kind of weird, I guess. But I enjoy what I do, and I'm fascinated by the topic and love podcasting.
And not only do you get to call it fun, but you get to call it research.
That's true.
Okay, well, why did I become a podcaster? I'm not going to go into the whole story, but in 2011, I had just started my new business, Edit Right For You, a professional editing service. And I got to thinking, now, how am I going to promote myself? What can I do to get people to know who I am and start to get some jobs, get some work? Well, the thought came to me, I can do a podcast. And what I'll do is I'll do a podcast on stories, and I will bring in authors, and we'll talk about ideas on how we write, why we write, what we write, all these wonderful things. And then it will be a launch pad for people who are interested. Hey, maybe this guy's doing a podcast. He knows something about editing. And lo and behold, it worked.
There you go. And I find that, I've heard that a lot with podcasts, that people have great success, not only directly making money via podcast, but it helps them tremendously professionally. It gets their name out there. And I think that's a cool thing about podcasting.
Well, I can't say that I make money on my podcast, but a lot of that is by design. I think you and I have talked about this before. I have to be so careful of copyright.
Oh, yes.
And so if my podcast ever did start to make money, there's shows I couldn't bring you anymore. I couldn't bring you Suspense. I couldn't bring you Gunsmoke. I couldn't bring you Johnny Dollar. I couldn't bring you Johnny Dollar. There's just...
The Man with the Action Expense Account.
Yes, with the Action Packed Expense... The action-packed expense account. That was a tongue twister for me for some reason. It shouldn't have been. But anyway, and so Ron's Amazing Stories will continue to be nonprofit until I don't know when.
Well, all things in good time, and it's helping you in many other ways. So
it does.
I say stick with it.
And I have done what I thought. I've had many authors on the show, including yourself. And I believe, I don't know if this is true, but I got to edit your book simply because you knew I was an editor, because you knew me as a podcaster.
Dan and I know we're going to be doing more work together on the newsletter and so forth. So, yeah, and I think you did a great job. So, folks, if you need an editor, get in touch with Ron.
Please do. And that's Edit Right For You, professional editing services. All right, Jim. Well, I think our ghost friend appears very satisfied with what we've done here today. In fact, why is he handing us a Ouija board? I'm going to say no to that.
Oh, no.
No, Ouija board. I think we should go back to the train. What do you think?
My good man, I'm ready to do such things post-haste.
Guys, thank you very much for episode 300. Jim, congratulations on episode 500. And where can they find you, Jim?
Oh, yes. JimHerald.com and all your favorite podcatchers, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Overcast, Stitcher, all of those. Plus, you can download my free app now, Jim Herald Spooky Studio, on all major smartphone and tablet platforms.
Well, it has been a pleasure, as always. And as we leave this place, I say thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Ron.
As Jim and Ron make their way back to whence they came, I want to thank all of you for listening to the show. You are the reason both Jim and I make these podcasts each week. Also, to Jim I say, thank you, my friend, for being with us on our 300th episode of Ron's Amazing Stories. Jim, you are the best. Now, you can find out all about Jim and his shows at his website, jimherald.com. A special thank you goes to Kevin MacLeod, who's responsible for 90% of the music you hear on the show. He's been with us since the very beginning. In fact, what you're hearing in the background right now is the talented man playing Toccata and Fugue in D minor. You can hear more of his music at his website, incompetech.com. Thank you, Kevin. Coming up in week two of the month of Spooky 2017, we will have my favorite old-time horror episode on Tuesday, followed by a brand new episode on Thursday. This episode will feature some amazing spookiness and an OTR story from Inter Sanctum. Be sure to join us for those. If you want to keep up with what's happening on Ron's Amazing Stories, please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or sign up for the weekly newsletter. All of the links are found at ronsamazingstories.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you come again to find out what are Ron's Amazing Stories.